I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 27 and verse 46. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 27 and verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the subject before us this evening is the Saviour forsaken. And we come this evening to the fourth of the spoken utterances of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And we cannot fully enter into the profound depths of this awesome transaction on behalf of sinners. A veil is covered over this particular 3 hours of darkness, at the end of which we have this cry of the Lord Jesus. We read in Psalm 22 where David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, prophesies of this time of suffering and punishment on the cross. And most remarkably, as he is led by the Spirit, he foretells this time even to what the Lord Jesus would cry upon the cross. And so we see this perfect harmony between the Old and New Testament, the prophecy of God and the fulfillment of God in the very person of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And as we look upon this particular awesome event at Calvary, we know it was a sacrifice of obedience. Upon the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ presented himself in his human nature as the perfect man. There could be no redemption for needy sinners without a perfect man keeping God's holy law, which condemns us. The law could not condemn Christ in and of himself as a person, because he kept it absolutely perfectly. He obeyed God's law perfectly, and he was able at Calvary to present his life as the perfect offering of obedience. But secondly, we see the Calvary event as the sacrifice of suffering. The one who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him might become the righteousness of God in him. We read in Scripture that God the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it was in this that God and man in one person, Christ Jesus, endured the eternal justice of God. The eternal nature of the justice of God required that the God-man endure the eternal punishment of hell. As the Son of God made man, there was an eternal value, an infinite value in his sufferings. Only as the God-man could the Lord Jesus secure eternal inheritance to heaven and eternal deliverance from hell. And so on the cross at Calvary, we have displayed both the divine and human nature of Jesus Christ in one person. So when we come to consider a statement including the word why, we know Jesus is speaking as a man. When he spoke to the dying thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he was speaking as God, the Son of God. Only God can has the authority to say to a person, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But here we are considering a statement of the Lord Jesus as the perfect man. We know that this statement he made, my God, why have you forsaken me, is Jesus Christ speaking here as the man Christ Jesus. For as God, he knew all things. Why is not part of the vocabulary of God, whose knowledge is infinite? As the Son of God, he had no reason to say why. He had no reason to have a question, why? But as the perfect man, he entered into the pain of the why. He entered into the limitations of human nature. And there is no man that ever entered so deeply into the pain of the why as our Lord Jesus Christ. As God humbling himself as man, he entered into the experience of the pain of the question, why? Now we must always remember there are two ways in which why can be expressed. Why can be expressed sinfully in a self-pitying accusation against God, or why should I do this? Why can also be expressed, though, in faith, realizing the limitations of our human understanding. It can actually be expressed by faith in a cry of anguish, not in unbelief, but in agony of soul, in spiritual pain. And it is in this manner our Lord expresses the word, why, my God, a fellowship. In one sense, he is his, as a man, he can cry to him as, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the manner of his affliction brought forth then this cry of anguish. All the eternal suffering due for the sins of every member of the Church of God was endured by him. And this is beyond their comprehension. He endured the infinite wrath of God. He endured the eternal punishment of hell as the God-man, Christ Jesus. And as the God-man, here only was able to suffer the punishment of God, putting an eternal stamp upon it. Only the Lord God Jesus could undertake such a transaction. But you see, friends, this evening, all this, this incredible suffering beyond our natural human comprehension did not compare with the greatest pain of all for the Lord Jesus. There was a pain above, even the wrath of God coming down upon him. There was an experience that was even more awesome than suffering the eternal punishment due for the sins of all those who put their trust in him, all those ordained unto eternal life. It was the pain of being forsaken by God, the pain of being forsaken by God. There was no pain greater than this for the Lord Jesus. Martin Luther once said, he put his head in his hands. He was meditating upon this text. And he said, God forsaking God. Who could have thought of such a thing? And it is this cry of being forsaken I would like us to consider then this evening. Forsaken by God. Because he carried the burden of our sin. Forsaken by God. Because he endured eternal punishment. Forsaken by God because he endured hell, the eternal banishment, the place of eternal banishment from God. Forsaken by God because he must endure the wrath of God. Forsaken by God because he became sin for us and in our stead. Forsaken by God because he, as the scapegoat, carrying our sins, was driven out into the wilderness. Scripture teaches us that he suffered outside the city gates of Jerusalem, driven out of the city as an outcast, the Son of God made man, treated as an outcast of society. As the scapegoat, he was driven out of the city. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So our Lord not only entered into the pain of the why as a perfect man, our Lord entered into the suffering of being forsaken by his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Our Lord, till this point of Calvary's cross, had experienced eternal union with God the Father. He'd never experienced anything like this before. Not only did he have to experience what it meant to be treated as a sinner on Calvary's cross, he who knew no sin became sin for us. And that was foreign to the perfect man, Christ Jesus. It was a dreadful experience. But there was another experience he'd never known before. And that was broken fellowship with the Father. He'd had an eternal fellowship with the Father, an unbroken union, a sinless union, a perfect union. And it was this union that was so special to him while here upon earth as the perfect man that caused him so often to go off on his own and pray to his Father in heaven. But here, on Calvary's cross, it was a lonely pathway. Now some of us in our experience and even perhaps now are experiencing a sense of being forsaken. We can be forsaken by our friends, we can be forsaken by our family sometimes, we can be forsaken by other situations and other people. And there's a pain of being forsaken, the pain of rejection. And it carries a weight within us. But we know, as sinners, that we've forsaken other people ourselves at times, and we've been the ones who are doing the forsaking. We've been the ones that have left people as sinners. But if we want to follow a person who really knows what it is like to suffer and really knows what the pain of loneliness is like, we must come to Jesus. He's not only entered into the pain of suffering unlike any other, not only the physical. You see, the physical, we must be very careful. While the physical suffering of Jesus Christ upon the cross was awesome, it was terrible. It wasn't the greatest issue of Calvary. The agony was the suffering of the soul. You see, there was and has been attempts made over the years, and there was a film some while ago, and when we was at Melksham, and I advised my congregation very strongly against entering into watching this. I think it was called The Passion of Christ. The Passion, I think it was called. And they tried to picture something of the awesome nature of the suffering of Christ. But you see, friends, they miss the point. They miss the point. Because actually, no one can describe fully and properly and adequately the sufferings of Christ on Calvary. It was far much more than physical. And of course, very soon after that film was released, someone said, well, I can make a film that could show even worse sufferings than that on the cross. I know there's some people that we could picture that actually had far worse physical sufferings than even that is pictured in your film. So you don't want to go down that route. There are two thieves crucified at the same time as the Lord Jesus. So that's not the issue. The issue mainly is the suffering of the soul. And here we enter into it in our text. My God, why have you forsaken me? And on the cross, Christ was forsaken in his eternal experience of a blessed fellowship with his Father. And this was a new experience for him. It was an awful experience for him. No one has ever experienced loneliness like the Lord Jesus did on the cross in those 3 hours of darkness. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. He was absolutely on his own, suffering the wrath of God. And at the end of those 3 hours, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, when we think about the Lord Jesus at Gethsemane, it was the knowledge of this separation that caused him to sweat great drops of blood. It was not only the knowledge that he would of what he would suffer in terms of redemption on behalf of needy sinners, it was the separation. He's overwhelmed not only because of the suffering to come, but the separation to come. He had been forsaken by his enemies. He was forsaken by his disciples. But he'd never been forsaken by his heavenly Father. So all his life, 33 years of life, he'd never been forsaken by his Father, but that was time. There's something even far more wonderful than time. There's eternity. And Christ had never experienced a broken fellowship with his Father. And this is what he went through for sinners. And sometimes we don't contemplate enough of this aspect of Calvary. We focus upon the suffering, the punishment, which is true, which is important. But I want us to think this evening in our minds about the separation. An unbearable thought for the perfect Son of Man, forsaken, broken fellowship with the Father. And in our little way, do we not see how when we ourselves are caught up in the world as a believer, we lose that sense of fellowship with the Father. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, the only reason he's lost that fellowship with the Father is because he's the sin bearer. It's sin which separates. It's sin which was separating the Lord Jesus from his Father. The punishment and the fact that he was the sin bearer. Coming under the curse for us. But the awesome experience of broken fellowship were so distressing for the Lord Jesus. And the question for us this evening is, how much does being in fellowship with God the Father mean to us? How much does it mean in our lives to be in union with God, walking with God, following the Lord Jesus, being able to cry, Abba Father, dear Father, knowing that we are in Him? I'm speaking here about the experience of fellowship. We know that once in Him and Him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. I'm speaking about the experience of fellowship. How much does that mean to us? The enjoyment of fellowship with God the Father. Well, the fact of contemplating it and the reality of experiencing it was unbearable for our Lord. And it brought forth the cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And these 3 hours of darkness encompassed beyond their comprehension an eternal transaction of suffering. Our Lord endures the eternal experience of total separation from God as our sin bearer and our sacrifice. The pain of this experience, the suffering of it, the grief of it, caused our Saviour to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So this evening we are just reminded quite simply of the awesome nature of sin. What it cost our Saviour to suffer for sinners. And remember that because of your sin, because of my sin, Christ not only had to suffer untold agony in body and soul, He had to endure the experience of being forsaken by His eternal heavenly Father. The experience and merit of Christ's sufferings as the perfect God-man are eternally sufficient. But to endure this suffering, He had to endure separation from God the Father. Sin unforgiven causes eternal separation from God. This is called the second death. And our sin deserves eternal suffering and banishment from God. And Christ had to endure this just punishment from God on behalf of all those who trust in Him to deliver them. What does this mean to us this evening? The depths of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried out with a loud voice. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in conclusion, reconciliation with God has cost our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ the experience of being forsaken. Oh, now He's in perfect eternal union with the Father. But there was this period of time in the experience of the Lord Jesus when He had that broken fellowship. Does this soften our hearts this evening? That Christ should go through this experience for needy sinners like me and like you. Does it soften us? You know how it is when one of our dear ones goes away for a period of time and we feel a sense of separation. There's a pain of separation. Years ago, when going abroad, particularly on ministry, because that was really more in outlying areas, not in the cities. Before, when that was in the business life, it was more in the bigger cities, so communication was not so difficult. But years ago, when you went, say, to India for ministry in the villages, to get a call back to home would take 3 hours just to get book a call and to wait there and wait there and wait there. Just to have a 5-minute call to catch up with your loved one and dear one. And there's a sense of separation, a sense of being apart. And when that is, when you first go through that experience and you're one of your first trips abroad, it can be very painful. It can be very painful. But here we have the Son of God, separated in fellowship from his Father. And he'd never known this before. He hadn't known sin, and he hadn't known separation. But Lord Jesus was willing to do this, to experience this, that we might have unbroken fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as we trust only in him. Whatever you experience in your life spiritually, in your soul, as you go on with the Lord, those of you who are in the way, and those of you who are seeking the Lord Jesus, and you wonder, how much will the Lord Jesus know about what I will experience as a Christian, what I will experience in the way, as I follow the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus can sympathize with all your experiences. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. We have a sympathizing high priest. In all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There is one who can sympathize. We can believe in the one who fully and truly understands our case and condition. And this is what we're called to do. And you say, if only I could believe, it would all be easy. It'd be much easier. Oh Lord, I believe, help while my unbelief, was the cry of one who came to Jesus. So what to do when we battle with unbelief and our hearts are so hard? Well, the Lord Jesus says, come. Come as you are. Come with your hard heart. Come with your doubts and fears. Come with your unbelief. Come with your weariness. Because that's what Jesus says. Come unto me, all you that are weary and are heavy laden. Jesus doesn't say necessarily, come unto me if you've felt this or you've felt that and you've had this experience and that experience and this and this and this. He simply says, come, just as you are. And tell me about your doubts and your fears and your faintings and your weariness and the struggles with unbelief. Come. Just as you are. He will not tell you to go. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And you could come to no better person. Here is the complete Savior, the absolute Savior, the absolute High Priest, the absolute Redeemer, the absolute advocate, the absolute shepherd, the one above all others. Look to this one come to him and trust in him and follow him. The one that went through these awesome experiences out of a heart of love for sinners. Jesus said, I didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Satan may be saying to you this evening, even now, but you're such a sinner. You're such a, look at your life. Look what you've done in your life. Look what's gone on in your life. And you tell Satan, well, actually, Jesus says that he came to save sinners. And I'm a sinner. And Jesus came to save sinners. So I come as a sinner and nothing at all. And I trust in the Savior of sinners. That is my warrant. My warrant to come is to come as a sinner. And I come as a sinner. That is the warrant in the Bible. The warrant to come is not your feelings. The warrant to come is only to come as a sinner and look to Jesus. That is the biblical warrant, because they're the ones whom Jesus has come to save.